Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Very good morning. It's Yael Raushan with you on Money FM 89.3. Now joining me in the studio for this segment, Dan Coe, producer of Your Money. Dan, you doing okay?
All well. Good morning to you, Raushan.
Good morning. Now, as promised, we're going to be talking about investments and how you should be investing in this increasingly volatile climate. Now, I'm sure most of us would be aware of the recent US federal rate hike that has pushed the Fed funds rates to the highest since 2008. And just briefly to recap the details, interest rates were raised by 75 basis points, which also marks the fourth consecutive jumbo interest rate hike. This brings the key rate to a range of 3.75 to 4%. So here's something to think about. How much higher can they go? And what does this mean for us here in Singapore?
And meanwhile, while back at home, S-REITs are faced with one of the worst sell-offs in 20 years, as dozens of S-REITs have hit their 52-week lows in recent weeks. So while it's commonly seen as a safe haven in periods of volatility and uncertainty, why have S-REITs struggled to keep up this year? Well, our next guest has the answers to these questions, so let's wait no further and welcome on the show Cheng Chai-Sun, Head of Investment at Provident. Good morning, Chai-Sun. How are you doing?
Morning. Morning, Dan. Morning, Roshan.
Hey, great to be with you, Chai-Sun. Thank you so much for making time. Now, plenty to get stuck in, so let's get stuck in right away. Global stocks soared in October, a stark contrast to September's slide that pushed many indexes deeper into a bear market. Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 14% in October, on track to notch its best performance since 1976. Meanwhile, the Nasdaq Composite and S&P 500 were up 7.5% and 2.5% on the month, respectively. Now, Chai-Sun, what do you make of this? Is it another case of a bear market rally, or has the market truly bottomed out?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a saying that the market doesn't go up in a straight line. It also doesn't go down in a straight line.
Yes.
During bear markets, we can and will see sharp rallies that make investors feel like the worst is over. But then, you know, it might come down again after that. So, you know, October really was an incredible month, like you mentioned, for U.S. stocks and even for global stocks. MSCI World, which tracks like global stocks, including U.S., Europe, Japan, etc., Australia, is up about 8% for the month. So that's fantastic. But, you know, it's still very unclear if this means that the market has bottomed, because there are still quite a lot of uncertainties out there that need to be resolved.
Mm.
I think the major one is inflation. Inflation still remains a problem, and central banks are still very committed to raising interest rates to combat inflation. Although you could say that a large part of the higher interest rates have already started to be priced into the market.
Yeah.
Earnings have also been revised down. I think third quarter earnings were revised down. Fourth quarter also have been revised down by analysts. So a lot of that's starting to get priced in. But as you can see from, you know, earnings reports that have come out, a lot of companies are still very unclear about, you know, the full impact of inflation, rising prices and higher interest rates on the consumer. So their outlook is quite uncertain. So I think right now it's hard to say that we have seen the bottom, although I feel like we could be a lot closer to the bottom already, given how much the market has fallen. But, you know, investors should continue to invest with clear goals in mind and make sure that they're following a sound strategy to navigate this uncertainty.
Okay, Chai-Sun. Now, I just want to wind the clock slightly backwards. And how does our current situation compare to other historical bear markets? And what can we learn as we look to adjust our investment strategies?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things to note right now is a recession has been, I guess, almost or somewhat priced in by the stock market. Because if you look at the historical data around S&P 500, historically, it falls on average, right, on average, 28% during a recession. And we got really close to that in September. I think we were about 25-26%. So, you know, we are almost at the average fall for a recession that the market were priced in. But, I mean, of course, that's just the average. It's possible for stocks to fall more than 28%. I think in the last two recessions, we saw 2008-2020, the stock market fall more than 30%, maybe even almost at 40% over in 2008.
Mm.
So yes, I mean, something is being, the recession is being priced in, but you know, how bad it is, I think that's not fully clear yet. So in terms of investment strategies, well, of course, if you're already in the market, there's no point selling out right now and locking in your losses because you have already experienced a large part of the pain. And I think one thing to note is that markets usually recover after a sharp fall. I think on average, you know, you'll see markets rebound quite sharply after recessions are, you know, finally declared and investors are clear where things lie. Usually that's when people start investing again. And so one of the best investment strategies is to invest in a broadly diversified low-cost index fund and stay invested in it rather than try to time the market. I mean, that's usually worked best because after that, you know, when markets recover based on historical data, on average, you get some positive returns in the next couple of years. Of course, that's not always the case, but you know, over time markets still have trended up. So staying invested in a diversified portfolio of stocks is still one of the more effective investment strategies out there.
Right. Thank you so much for the analysis, Chai Sun. So now you mentioned earnings season, right? The third and fourth quarter. Why not let's take a look at the recent earnings season where we witnessed several of the world's largest companies unveiling disappointing quarterly results. And they include Amazon and Microsoft, who disappointed market forecasts, partly due to a slowdown in demand in their cloud computing businesses. Now, very quickly, what are your thoughts on the recent earnings results and what kind of picture does this paint for you in the months ahead?
Yeah, that's a great question. As you mentioned, I think earnings have been quite mixed, right? You see some companies beating earning estimates, but, you know, do keep in mind that earnings estimates have actually been revised lower already by analysts prior to that, you know, for third quarter and fourth quarter, because they're all trying to price in the effects of inflation and high interest rates on the economy. And yes, as you mentioned, notably, we've seen the tech giants, not just Amazon and Microsoft. I think Facebook is one of the biggest sort of companies to disappoint this quarter for various reasons. I think slowing demand, maybe higher capex, etc. So overall, the picture, I think, is one where there appears to be increased cost-cutting measures in the tech industry, which has been one of the large drivers of the economy. So, you know, it definitely highlights the impact of the higher interest rates, the higher discount rates, not just on valuations of tech companies, but also on their ability to generate cash flow and profits going forward. But however, while you have one segment of the economy or the stock market actually doing not so well, I think on the flip side, we have the energy companies making record profits,
right?
You know, as the Ukraine conflict continues to put pressure on energy supplies and push up the prices of oil and gas. So there's definitely, you know, another side of the economy that is doing really well and benefiting from the current economic environment. So I think, though, overall, you know, given especially how big tech has grown and how large the sector is relative to the U.S. economy and, in fact, to the world, how many people they employ. I think we even see the news in Singapore that Twitter, Facebook are all starting to
layoffs.
Yeah. So it's also going to affect the local economy here. I mean, it's going to be affecting consumers, affecting certain people's jobs. And this is all because of, you know, the high interest rate impacting the economy in different ways. Yeah, so I guess, you know, for the markets, there will always be sectors that do well at different times. So, you know, it's not so clear cut as to which direction the markets will go. But I think in terms of the economy, yes, there's definitely going to be a bit of a slowdown coming. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, the markets have largely priced in some kind of slowdown with how much they have fallen already.
All right, Chai Sun, now shall we jump to bright spots perhaps in the market, right? Despite these market volatilities that you've touched on and we're faced with, are there any bright spots to watch out for at all?
Yes, I think one of the interesting things is the bright spot really is fixed income. I know fixed income has had a terrible year this year, losses on bonds, you know, mark-to-market losses on bonds, because as interest rates go up, yields go up, and so prices of the bonds come down. So when you're holding the bond right now, or you're holding a bond fund, you know, your mark-to-market loss is looks really bad, because if you were holding a bond, yes, maybe right now if you try to sell it, it'll be much lower than where you bought it. But the yields on them, the future returns on fixed income are actually really, really pretty good now.
Right.
You're looking at higher yields on a lot of treasury bonds, and not just that, you know, corporate bonds, good corporate bonds are also yielding a lot more. And so that's sort of a bright spot, a real bright spot, because investors investors that have been more risk averse in the past when interest rates were low have actually struggled to find a way to make a return without taking risks that they are not comfortable with. I mean, a lot of investors were pushed to buying a lot of stocks, buying maybe higher yield bonds because they needed that return to meet their wealth goals. But now they might not necessarily need to go that far out on the risk curve, and they might be able to meet their goals with safer bonds. And so I think that's one of the real bright spots. And of course, stocks are always optimistic, right? Mm. They've fallen quite a bit so far. Yeah. So prices are really looking more attractive. A lot of companies' valuations are now not as stretched as before. And so if you believe that, you know, businesses are good and will last and survive this difficult economic period, of course, in the long term, stocks are likely to give you a much better return now that prices are down.
Thank you so much for that, Chai Sen. Now, if you're just joining us, we are speaking to Cheng Chai Sen, Head of Investment at Provident on Money FM 89.3. Now, Chai Sen, I just want to touch on what stocks or corners of the markets look rich and undervalued. Where are investors putting their money?
One of the most interesting things, or rather notable things this year, is that value stocks, right, have outperformed the market in this downturn. Mm. So, you know, cash flow, the value stocks typically are relatively, I guess, cheaper companies in terms of their valuation. Yep. Their cash flows are more in the near term, so they are less affected by a higher discount rate. So value stocks have outperformed the broader stock market in this downturn, and so have small stocks, smaller companies in the US. They've also outperformed the S&P 500 because there are a lot of their business is done domestically. So the stronger US dollar actually benefits them because, you know, they are making money in their domestic market. They only deal with a lot of US business, while the larger international companies actually are taking a lot of fixing FX impact from the higher US dollars, because when they translate their overseas earnings back into reporting in US dollars, they are taking a hit because the US dollar is so much stronger. Mm. So I think these two sectors have been outperforming. And, you know, historically, if you look at the long-term data, value stocks, small stocks have had a premium against larger stocks and growth stocks, which what that means, a premium, is that it sort of gives you a higher expected return over time. You know, okay. If you just held these stocks for a long time, they don't always outperform, but over time you will actually get a small outperformance versus the market. So since late 2020, the value premium has actually come back quite strongly, and some of the best performing funds in our portfolio this year are focused on deep value.
Right. Okay, so Chai Sen, you know, we talked a lot about US stocks and the global broader market. Why not let's take it back home and talk about SG REITs? Now, you know, at least half of the 42 actively traded Singapore-listed real estate investment trusts are trading at extremely close to their 52-week low. And this follows a massive sell-off that is shaping up to be one of the worst in the 20-year history of SG REITs. They are commonly seen as a safe haven in periods of volatility and uncertainty. But what is driving the latest struggles of SG REITs? And do you still see value in that?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that S-REITs have had a bit of a struggle in the last couple of months is that interest rates are starting to move up in Singapore. Mm. So our risk-free yields, you know, have started to move up. And that is really making the previous yields of the S-REIT less attractive. So the prices of the REITs had to fall to a level where the yield spread between the risk-free and the dividend yield of the REIT makes sense again. I mean, like, for example, say a REIT was yielding dividend yield of 5%, right, from buyer, and our Singapore 10-year yield was 2%. But say now our 10-year yield has moved up to 4%. You know, if a REIT is still yielding 5%, it makes it very unattractive because I can get something that's almost risk-free for 4%. So the REIT might have, the price will have to adjust for it to yield to around 7%. For it to be attractive to hold. So I think this is a large part of the volatility that the REITs have experienced recently. I think, you know, in terms of asset quality, in terms of ability to service their loans, our REIT market is fairly conservative. We do have quite a lot of restrictions on how much debt the companies can take, etc. So it's a less so, you know, underlying fundamental problem at this point, but, you know, it's really in terms of relative valuation to the risk-free that, you know, has seen our REITs correct.
Right, that being said, I mean, is it premature to think that S-REITs have completely bottomed out? Well, when will we know to buy the dip?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, there continues to be uncertainty around inflation and where interest rates are going to finally end up. And so, you know, I think where we can really feel like it might bottom out is when you see interest rates stabilize, maybe when the Fed says, hey, okay, we're going to stop raising interest rates now. And that's a large impact on Singapore's interest rates. So, so when we see the Fed say, okay, we're pausing, we're stopping for now, I think that's when we probably can be more certain that we're close to the bottom for S-REITs.
Right. But I mean, if you remember just recently, Powell also indicated that there could be a potential slowdown of the pace of future rate hikes that may come as soon as December of this year or maybe in January next year. So do you think this might change the mood?
Yes, Powell did say that he is going to slow down the pace of the rate hikes. But I think he also delivered one other piece of bad news.
Oh, yes.
That,
it will be higher,
gonna,
right?
Yeah, it's going to be a higher terminal rate. So what that means is the eventual, he might slow down the pace of rate hikes. So right now he's raising at 75 basis points each time. He might slow down and say, okay, I'll raise at 50 basis points, which is half a percentage point. And the next one I'll raise at 25, which is a quarter of a percentage point. Mm. But now he's going to stop at a higher final rate. So previously, in September, the Fed published their dot plot, which is a chart that shows on average where each of the Federal Reserve voting members think that the interest rates will be in the next few years. Okay. And the previous highest estimate was around 4.6%. So now, they haven't released their latest dot plot, so markets are guessing. But there is something called the Fed Fund Futures, which is where, you know, investors are actually able to trade futures on where they think the Fed funds rate will go. And so that's currently pricing in a terminal rate of around 5%.
Right.
So we are looking at maybe half a percentage point higher as the final rate. So if, you know, the Fed is going to have interest rates of 5%, that's also going to push up the rates in Singapore.
Right. So with all that said and done, let's maybe end off with a relatively nicer note. Where do you see opportunities in the market in terms of S-REITs? And do you see any sectors where we can start to scoop up attractive bargains? And what's your outlook for S-REITs in general?
Yeah, I think, you know, for S-REIT, you know, it's very important to just, you know, be clear that the REITs assets are good quality, and the yield is, you know, something that is has an attractive spread to where the risk-free is. So I would say, you know, given that almost all the REITs have fallen in tandem in the last couple of months, you would want to look for higher quality REITs with good assets, with good sponsors, strong sponsors, and strong balance sheets, so that, you know, you can take advantage of the higher dividend yields that they are paying right now.
Right.
So that's where, given that everything has fallen, you should go for the better quality ones first, given that there's no pressing need to really go for the much higher yield that, say, a weaker REIT might give.
Mm.
In terms of broader markets, well, like I mentioned, you know, we always think value stocks and smaller companies do offer long-term outperformance. So it would be good to consider maybe a diversified portfolio with some value stocks, some small stocks tilted into the portfolio to help give you some better return. And lastly, fixed income, you know, yields are high.
Yeah.
You have attractive short-term yields in terms of Singapore T-bills, which I think have been mentioned countless times in the news recently. SSB yields are much higher. You know, SGS yields are also high, and of course, corporate bond yields are high. So, you know, if you don't need to take that risk in stocks in a much more volatile investment, and you are comfortable with the higher yields that fixed income can give you right now, it also makes sense to take a serious look at fixed income safe bonds that will give you that return and a bit more peace of mind.
That's a nice option to have.
Indeed.
Absolutely fascinating. It's been a joy speaking to you this morning, Cheng Chai-sen, the head of investment at Provident. Thank you so much, Chai-sen.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Roshan.
Thank you, Chai-sen.
Now, listeners, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Chai-sen, of course, head of investment at Provident.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.